Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to season three of Coucho Unplugged. I'm Elliot. We're here with Danielle, and we're just went through the season's over, all this stuff, and it's transfer season, baby. So I'm going to start here. Obviously, there's been a lot of stuff going on at Liverpool at the moment with kind of the way that dealing with transfers. We knew kind of from the beginning that Sadio Mane, after the Champions League final, was going to go. We knew where he was going to go, but it took a significant piece from the Liverpool puzzle that's been so successful under Jurgen Klopp, and we can go through it, but Man City's done what they've done in the league, but this Liverpool team, if it wasn't for that monster at City, would probably have won multiple trophies, but they won the Champions League, they won the Premier League, they won the League Cup, they won the FA Cup. They're a dominant team that was reliant on the three-headed monster of Bobby Firmino, Mohamed Salah, and Sadio Mane. The absence of Mane is a big deal for this Liverpool thing, and they needed to make a move. And they were put in a pressurized situation where they had to make the move regardless of financial capability, regardless of everything. They needed to find a guy who can deliver. Now, the one that has been that they had their eye on is Darwin Nunez. And before I say what I'm going to say, Nunez has had an amazing season. 35 goals, 4 assists. I mean, I'll take that all day of the week. And regardless of what you think of the Portuguese league, it's probably top 4, top 5. Out of the big leagues, I would say the big four we know. Outside of that, then it's France, Holland, Portugal, leagues like that. I think it's still incredibly high quality of a game, of a league. So I don't think you can say, oh, because they scored this many goals, it means whatever. However, he's been great this season. With what he did in the Champions League, scored against Liverpool, scored against Bayern, scored against Barcelona, and I believe in those three games, he scored in both of the games. So he has the quality. Prototypically, from a scouting report standpoint, he has the package. He has what it needs to go to Liverpool and not fill the void, but give them something else, because they're gonna need to do something with Erling Haaland, the Norwegian freight train, and Man City. However, when this deal comes across, 80 million with a 20 million in bonuses, we're talking 100 million in territory. And I feel like in the transfer window of history, in my 20 years and your 8 years or whatever, there's always a moment when certain deals come across that have changed the complexion of the history and how the market is going to be infiltrated. You want to go back to 96, you have Alan Shearer, who went for, I think, 20 million, which at that time was ridiculous. And then as the market evolved, we saw 40 million players, 50 million players. Eventually, we saw guys who were in the 100 range. Neymar broke the game open with 220 million from Barcelona to PSG, obviously due to release clauses and the way Spain has changed in terms of negotiating contracts. Darwin Nunez, like I said, 35 goals, 4 assists, amazing player. But my issue with this is he's only done it for one season. Last year, he had, I think, 14 goals in all competitions, only 6 in the league. The year before that, he was in the Spanish second division, even though he scored 18 goals. So the justification of this move, and again, Liverpool had to do it. There wasn't a way around it. They needed to make a statement, and they had to make the statement. And you could say Benfica thrusted them. I think from this move forward, it changes the market, and we can get into this in a minute. But I think this specifically targets and applies, like, the buying and selling market is going to be different when dealing with strikers that are off a great season. But this could directly impact your boy Lautaro Martinez, and I think his value in the market has just went up 50, 60, 70 million. I think Lautaro, given his age and the consistency he's shown as Inter, has gone to, I don't know, 175 plus. If Inter cash in at some point, I don't think that's in their plan or his plan. But also, when his next contract comes up, he can now ask for Cristiano Ronaldo money. So if you're looking at the whole grand scheme of things, how everything has changed, but the impact it's going to have on Martinez itself could be massive for him and for Inter, because now you guys have, with him specifically, with teams interested, you have the ultimate leverage. Obviously, I wrote an article on this this week. You read it recently, and just based on what I'm saying, what's your takeaway from all of this that kind of went down over the last week? I think the deal's now been confirmed, 80 million plus 20 add-ons. Not to say the player's not fantastic, but the implications of the changing the market is going to be, we're going to be sitting in this moment 5-10 years from now, no, and thinking and coming back to this and realizing this was one of those moments in the transfer market.
Well, first and foremost, there's a lot to unpack with this. Obviously, he had one great season, and then the season before, he had a decent season, but not to the lengths of what he did this previous season. But I mean, for the person going for that much money with that amount, little amount of the success is like insane. But I mean, who knows? Maybe he does help Liverpool get back into the grand scheme of things, as they say. Obviously, it'll take a while for him to get used to the team, the players, etc. But obviously, players are good at adapting to things depending on like certain situations. So, I mean, it just depends on if he clicks with them and stuff. And if he clicks with Liverpool and their system, it's off to the races. And in regards to like Martinez, obviously, right now, Martinez has made it clear that he does not want to be sold for at least the foreseeable future. And I do agree that if when the contract extension comes back up again, he does have every right to say that, hey, I want this amount of money, like Cristiano Ronaldo money, as you just put it, because of his age, his consistency within the league, and especially this season. I mean, he had a 20-plus goal season, which is still on track with what he normally does. So he's consistent, and any team would want somebody of that caliber who's performs at a consistent basis throughout. Yes, there are times where he will go through a dry spell, but overall, you can expect at least 20 goals from him. So any team would be lucky to get him. And so as they say, money is starting to talk, and it's really showing with, like you just said, like back in the 90s, a player went for 20 million. And at that time, that was considered insane. But now, obviously, the market's changed and everything's changed, and these players have changed where they're asking for insane amounts of money. And I do agree to an extent that some players deserve it, but other players don't deserve that kind of money, but they still have the chance to ask for it. And obviously the players are going to go where the money goes. And if the team that they're currently at says, no, we're not going to offer you this, well, sorry, I got to go because this team is offering me what I'm wanting. So yeah, this whole thing has changed ever since like Neymar broke the bank, like, damn, 220 million, like, geez.
Yeah, I think the Neymar thing, I don't see a player reaching those heights anytime soon. But we could see players go from 150, 175, 200, 210, things like that. As far as I want to track back just a little bit to the Liverpool thing, obviously, I actually think he's going to be amazing. I think he's going to knock it out of the park first year. It probably will take a couple years for him to justify the price tag that was paid. And this is another interesting thing that I think we have to talk about here is this is not the way Liverpool does business, because they are shrewd operators. You talk about Sadio Mane, they got for, I think, 34. Roberto Firmino from Hoffenheim, they got for 20, it's in the 20s. Salah went for 38 plus bonuses that rose up to 50. You look, Alisson and Van Dijk, they spent big. Robertson, the one of the best young players in the world, went for $8 million. So you look at their team and how they built it, and the types of the signings that they're making. They're not putting in this kind of cash into a player's. So obviously that's an obvious stand here. But from Liverpool's perspective, even though this is crazy money, do you understand? Do you feel like I feel like we're trapped in making this decision? Do you understand their thought process surrounding spending this amount of money for a player that they've seen in close play terrific? But just from that perspective, what are your thoughts on the Liverpool thing angle in all of this?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at it from the perspective is from the, obviously with losing Sané and stuff, I think this was more of a desperation move, trying to fill the void that he's going to be leaving behind. And obviously what I really should call the Champions League and the Europa League and the Conference League. You want to know what I should really call it?
What?
The let's go window shopping before we have a chance to shop kind of scenario. Like, it's a great way to like see what these players in other leagues are doing. Like, see how, and then if there's somebody that during those tournaments catches your eye, say, okay, let's see what they're doing in their league. And if it's somebody that they could see them gravitating towards, obviously they want to put in the offer. So, I mean, obviously they're trying to fill the void of Sané. And so they saw how good this first Nunez was playing and had a great season. But like I said, to me, it was more of a desperation move. Obviously, you're getting a player who had obviously just one great season. But for me, I would have strategically went with somebody who had a little bit more experience, just because you know they're going to be performing at a consistent level throughout, instead of just saying, oh, we're getting you on one great season, but is it going to transfer over? I think it might too, but only time will tell.
But do you think that – I get what you're saying, that you want to be – I mean, Liverpool's got bang. But based on what's happening around them, don't you think this is a move they had to make? Because what happens if they don't make this move and then they pay whatever for – I can't even think of someone. You know, trying to go big. But if they need to make some sort of splash, because if they don't, you remember Man City just got Erling Haaland. So how do they, from this aspect, do that without making – a big, and I get it's a lot of fucking money, and again, all the things I'm saying about this, I'm not even saying that against Nunez. I'm just saying this is the reality of his situation. I think he's going to be spectacular. We saw him against Benfica, Barcelona, and Liverpool in the big games. He showed up. He had an incredible season. But based on the what they need to catch up to City, don't you think this is a type of move, desperate or not, that Liverpool needed to make, especially considering who's going out the door?
I mean, in now that you brought that up, I do think this is a signing that they needed to make, because how old is Nunez again?
I think he's 20, I don't know, 24, 25, 26, one of those 3 years. I'm not sure.
So basically in Lautaro Martinez range. So I mean,
I think he's older, but yeah, more or less. I think they're the same age is what I mean. Similar age.
So, I mean, obviously you're getting somebody who could give you a lot of years. And so I think this is I still think he's going to do well. But, I mean, still, you're getting somebody who's going to be – obviously is coming off one great season. But we'll just see what happens. But I do think this was a move that needed to be made, especially with Sané leaving. And obviously, it with the likes of the legendary Erling Haaland coming to Man City, they needed somebody of that caliber to be able to come into the club, especially to keep up with what's going on with them at the moment.
Yeah, totally. And in fairness, Mbappe went from Monaco to PSG after one quote-unquote great season. Erling Haaland had one huge season and then left. So stuff like this has worked in the past. But prototypically, basically how their careers are gone, I think it's a reach. But again, for Liverpool fans that might be listening, I still think that they made the right decision doing this. Because what I said in the article, and as you know, a couple of times, what are they going to do? Just sit here and say, you know, let's be more cautious with our money and watch Man City win the another league, watch Erling Haaland score 25 goals in the Premier League and win them the Champions League? Because they don't have another choice. They got it. They can't just sit here and go, okay, well, this is out of our price range. Let's look somewhere else. When Man City are already loaded top to bottom, are trying to raid every Premier League team in the world to get more and more quality, Liverpool had to make a statement. And is this the statement I would have made? No. I would have gone for Lautaro makes the most sense out of all of them. That's why I kind of compared the two. I mean, that's not happening. But before this deal went across the table, that's the quality of player that I would have gone for. But they had to make a statement. And given the value of this player currently, I think they had to do this. All right, moving on. And I'm going to let you first crack here because I think you and me are going to slight disagree. Obviously, there's Lukaku rumors back to Inter. I actually do think this will happen. Because it seems like Chelsea are going to go in a different direction. Didn't have a great season. We know all this. What are your thoughts on this potentially? And if you don't want him back, what is the issue exactly other than the obvious? Because I just want to know from your perspective, since you're the team in question here.
Okay. I would like to call myself to the stand. Okay. Yes, I promise to tell the whole truth. But anyway,
is that correct, Miss Heard? I'm just kidding. I had to help myself.
Oh, I know. But yeah, I mean, come on, guys. It's a podcast episode. We have to bring a little humor to this.
Awesome.
I know.
Anyway, go ahead.
But anyway, in regards to obviously with the whole regards to the Lukaku situation, it is starting to look like it might become more clear and it might actually be happening. So, but obviously there's going to have to be some sacrifices. It's either going to be Dzeko, Carrera, or you have to sell a couple other pieces, like maybe Bastoni or Skriniar have to go just to make up the
deficit. You can also sell Piemonte or one of the players on loan too. So that's just so you know that is also an avenue that's currently being explored.
Yes. And so obviously sacrifices need to be made in order to bring in both Dybala and Lukaku if they are going to go that route. Personally, obviously as a fan with how things went down at the end of last season, he left a bitter taste in a lot of the Inter fans' mouths. But if we're talking from we want to win another Scudetto and possibly make a huge push in the Champions League, this is a move that would have to be made. And, I mean, if Lukaku was able to get back into the rhythm he had when he was with us, along with the likes of Dybala and Martinez, obviously those players rotating because obviously Inzaghi would continue with this 3-5-2 formation. No,
they could still play. They could still play together because you put Dzeko, sorry, you put Dybala underneath, and then you have Lautaro with Lukaku. Theoretically, is what I'm saying.
Theoretically, obviously, but in general, it's usually the 3-5-2. So obviously you would have a lot of depth in the attack area. So for me, has obviously a lot of other Inter fans are going to disagree with me, but I really don't care. I would say I would get Lukaku back just because we want to win the titles and we want to make a better push in the Champions League. So this would, in my opinion, would have to be a move that has to be made. But if you're one of those fans that doesn't want him back, that's definitely your opinion, and I respect it. But if you really want to make a push, this is definitely something that an avenue that has to be considered.
Okay. So my theory is winning cures everything. The thing is, Lukaku didn't go from Inter to AC. We're not talking about Pjanic going from Roma to Juventus. We're not talking about players that go from Lazio to Roma. We're not talking about players that go from Barcelona to. He went from Chelsea to, or sorry, Inter to Chelsea, right? So they don't have the anger you would have at a player differently in that sort of space, where I think Lukaku's, the issue was the way he left was not professional. I would, let me know if you think, I think this is comparable to Mohamed Salah leaving Roma. It's not that we have anything against Liverpool. It's we didn't like the way he conducted himself in that particular moment. Would you say that's kind of the vibe from your point?
That's definitely the vibe I'm getting, yeah.
So the your biggest issue was he wasn't respectful in his departure. Considering what you guys had already lost, he was insensitive to the situation. That's how I would describe Mohamed Salah to Liverpool. My biggest issue with Salah is if we ran it back, I think we would have won the title. You probably think if you ran it back with Lukaku and Inzaghi's team that you would have won the title. So there's all these different areas of things. But my thing is from that point, just from an Inter fan, if you don't like him or whatever, if he starts scoring goals regularly, I think everybody's going to forget about that. If Mohamed Salah came back and starts banging in the goals, I think we would all forget about that. I don't think that's never going to happen. But you know what I mean? Just having that sort of that pressure that he might get booed at the beginning. But once he's winning you games, I think it's different.
It's however, like you left, it's like you left us for who? We love you, dude. Come welcome back.
Right. However, and you're going to like this. This is my theory on this. Lukaku does not go back in that team and becomes the man. If he's coming to Inter, and I think this is not negotiable, you are Robin. You're not Batman. Batman is Lautaro Martinez. If you really look at it, because you can look at the numbers that he put up at Inter, and they're insane. He was not better than Lautaro Martinez in either of those seasons. Lautaro is their best player, for me, even with Dybala. Dybala's there and Lautaro. I still think Lautaro is the best player. I mean, he is one of my favorite strikers in world football, so you're probably not too surprised I'm saying this. But this only can work in a good way if Lautaro is the guy. He is number one. What you need to – Lukaku to come in and score goals. That's all you need. Lautaro does so many more things. And, again, it's clear now. Lukaku is a system-based striker. So if he has 30 goals by January, he's still not a top-five striker in the world because it's proven that his system – he's a system-type player. He plays the same system at Inter that he plays with Belgium. Chelsea plays a different system, so that's not going to go off in that sort of that way. You know what I mean? So Lautaro needs to be number one, and the identity of Inter needs to be we play through Lautaro. We don't play through Lukaku. Lukaku is our big guy who can score goals when he gets the ball. That's what we need to look at it as. We can't look at it as Lukaku being that guy. Not to say he can't score a load of goals, but Inter's identity must flow through the Argentine. As good as Lukaku has been with Inter, and I think he comes back, he's going to be awesome. But I think you got to play this thing through Lautaro because I think if you make him, if you let Lukaku get control again as being the main man, it's not going to disrupt Lautaro, but I think it will disrupt Inter in how they want to go about their business. So my non-negotiable thing is you are playing you're doing things on the pitch for Inter at the San Siro for the benefit of the team and to give your player, your best player, Lautaro, the best opportunities to lead this team on. Lukaku cannot go in there as Batman or whatever, Superman, whatever you want to say. What I want from Lukaku the most from this is you take bodies away from Lautaro. So in an attacking situation, and if this happens, and I think it will, I think you're close on a deal, you take defenders with Lukaku, leaving space for Lautaro. That is the best way you can do this. You can score your goals too, but I think through this Inter team, Lautaro has to be the main man, no negotiables. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, I got a question first. So if Lautaro is Batman, Lukaku is Robin, does that make Dybala Batgirl?
No.
Or Alfred?
No. Dybala would be Batman, but an older version.
Because hashtag he's old. Hashtag old Batman. Okay.
Let me put it this way. Lautaro Martinez is Christian Bale and Batman. And then Dybala is, I don't know, Val Kilmer or something.
Seems legit. Now, back to the question. Actually, that would be a great system to add. I mean, definitely surrounding everything around Lautaro. Obviously, the way you described how the best bet to get the opposition away from Martinez, absolutely a great spot on idea. You take the defenders with Lukaku and try to draw the attention to him while you leave the openings up for Martinez. That is absolutely a great idea. I actually would approve of something like that.
And remember, you can just put Dybala underneath. I just assume he's going there. I think he's got some interest from Spain, but I think it's Totti said it's the dream is over. So it's not going to be Roma. No, me and you used to, I wouldn't say argue, slightly disagree on this, because during the peak of Lautaro Lukaku, I always rode with Lautaro and you always took Lukaku. And they're both great players. But I think because Lautaro can do so much more, I think he's more important. Plus, Lukaku's a very physically demanding figure, so he's going to take more attention from the defense, where Lautaro can just kind of skate through inside and because of his athletic ability. I have to say, Lukaku's not athletic, but not in the same way. So you take the brute force of Lukaku, take defenders with him, and it's going to leave spaces, not always for Lautaro, and it's not always going to be him scoring a goal. It can be Lautaro and somebody else making a move, and then the game opens up for them. All right. Okay. Let's just run through this real quick. I think this is idiotic, and I think Alanta are starting to crash the Titanic into the iceberg. Obviously, Alanta's biggest issue of recent years has been defense. Ever since went to Leicester City, I forgot what his name is. Timothy Castagna. They've struggled defensively. Last year, their attack wasn't as good. Defensively, they were a little better, but they were still not where it needs to be. So they have a buy option for Di Morel, who's on loan from Juventus. It's cheap, 20 million. He was the best defender last year. They've, according to my boy Fabrizio Romano, it's been told that they're not going to activate it. So I got one question: what are they doing?
I would like to give the classic answer of it's what you get when you mix a elephant and a rhinoceros, the helifino.
What's your thought about this?
I mean, what are they doing? I mean, it's like they were starting to go downhill after, not this past season, but the season before. Like, obviously, they still were in the Champions League two seasons ago. But this season, they were nowhere inside the European competition.
No, they were in the Champions League. They got remember that they played against Man United and all that. They finished third after having their basically situation handled, and then they went to the Europa League, lost to Leipzig and beat wounded Leverkusen. But they finished. I forgot where. I think eighth or something. They didn't make Europe this season, basically. So they're going to be playing next season without Europe.
Yeah. So it's like now that they're selling another player, it's like, what are they doing? It's like, where is their mindset at? It's like, what are you just selling players and hoping to find somebody to replace them that was the same quality? Like, what is your strategy? Because for me, this is now the time to, as you like to say, blow up the ship and restart and just like or and just keep your core pieces and then just build around those key pieces that you know are going to give you at least some sort of like consistency throughout the season. So, but right now it looks like they have no idea what they're doing and how to like make things better going forward. So,
yeah,
like I said, it's the hell if I know experience. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. What's the point of not paying $20 million to sign this guy? Well, you're going to have to pay $20 million to sign another defender instead.
Like, exactly.
He's been there for a year already. Just fucking pay him. Juve is not going to use him. He's going to go somewhere else. And then he's going to be a problem of yours instead of – I don't get it. Zapata's in his 30s now. He's always injured. He probably gives you 20 at full strength. But there's no evidence to believe that he's going to be – to me, that he's going to all of a sudden be fully healthy next season and bang him in. He'll play well when he plays, but he's not going to be available all the time. Luis Muriel went from 25 goals to like 11. Again, he's in his 30. He's in his, I think he's 31, 32, 33, that range. You look at the rest of the team, they're just going to have more issues than just defense. And this was a way to figure out. And it's not like Alonso has no money. They've been in the Champions League for the last couple of years. They've been in Europe for many years. They got the money to go out and get players. I don't understand this one. We'll go back to another interesting in a minute, but just real quick, I think everybody on earth knows how I feel about this, but Pogba's a potential return to Juventus. I kind of want to, if he signs, I just kind of want to ignore that he's even in the league. That's how irritated I am with his whatever. What are your thoughts on Pogba's return?
Really? This guy again? It's like, what's the point? It's like, he goes between, what is it, Juventus and Man United, right?
It was Man United, Juventus, Man United, Juventus.
Yo, pick a lane and stay in it, dude. Like, come on. It's ridiculous. He's changed his mind on these two clubs more than I do my purses that I want to take with me. I mean, come on. It's like, I'm actually going to agree with you on this one. It's like, yeah, he may be back in the league, but I'm just going to ignore that you're there because it's like, this is just another redundant thing with him. It's like, it's just getting to the point where I'm done dealing with this guy because two more years? Oh, yeah, I want to go back to Man United. Go screw yourself, dude.
Man United look like fucking clowns on this, though. Right? They had him. They had him in the academy. They let him go for free once Juventus balls out. And comes back to then they pay $98 million to get him back, only for him to leave and go for free again. I mean, I just I think Man United looks like absolute clowns. They couldn't even give anything for him. They paid $98 million. He did not do well during his time there, and now it's I don't know. He's such a frustrating player because I think he'll do well in honesty, but I don't think it changes the Juventus's season if he's there. He plays he's so brilliant for France, then he doesn't perform for Man United. Last time he was at Juventus, he performed, but it's just like I just feel like he's got a bad attitude, and I just wouldn't want that in my locker room. You know, it's just he's brilliant on his day, and he'll have moments that will have us with our jaws on the floor. And we'll probably be talking about how good was Pogba last night. That's something one of us will say this season if he plays for Juventus. But at the same time, I just don't think it's worth all of this. And I just think I don't know. I'm just not a fan of people going back and forth between two teams. I'm not a fan of people playing for the same team twice. You know, so I just think, and I mean, the team's already kind of messy with Allegri still there. I know they have a lot of issues, amazing, and they have a lot of good players, but I don't know, man. It's just I don't know. It's redundant. I'm just annoyed with them. All right. Obviously, Bastonius, it does appear that he's staying now, but there's been a lot of drama over the last 2 weeks. What have been your thoughts on all of this situation, and how do you feel about it now?
In the beginning, when all this news was circulating, I was to the point where I was busting out a line from when we were doing the Cannon Snakes in the Olympico. Hashtag hands off the merchant. Because, I mean, he's literally one of our best defenders, along with, like, Milan Skriniar. Obviously, it's looking like DeVry might possibly be on his way out. I don't know the whole situation.
I've heard Skriniar actually more than DeVry.
Well, yeah, Skriniar has really started to come into those conversations, like, it's mostly over the past few days because of, like, obviously I have my own source has their source who gets news to me, like, right quick. Long before Fabrizio Romano, just saying. But we are almost on a fully done deal with Eslani, and we're on still in talks for Bremer. Obviously, if we're getting those pieces, obviously one of our defenders has to go, and it looks like it might be Milan Skriniar, but we'll see how that story pans out. But the person we're talking about is Bastoni. I was nervous in the beginning, especially with all these pieces that we were trying to bring in, and knowing that we would need to offload players just to make up for it. And obviously, Bastoni is still being as young as he is, and the quality he's given Inter with his just short time there has been huge. So I was nervous, but now that it looks, he has confirmed that he wants to stay, and obviously the board of directors is going to do everything in their power to make sure he stays, and that if there's any, like, things that need to be done to make sure that the players that we are going after, like getting rid of, like, Gagliardini or Didi, apparently there's news that, obviously, because it's me, there actually is a god. Radu is looking like he's out the door. Thank you, Jesus.
He made one mistake his entire career. You're acting like he made the Howlers 24/7. And if he doesn't make that Howler, you still don't win the league. So, just saying.
I'll just act like I heard nothing. But yeah, but still, I mean,
everybody feels.
But now that he's confirmed to stay, I feel in a much more calm, like, position. But we'll see what happens with Skriniar. Hopefully he's able to stay, but if not, wherever he goes, I wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah, I think it's one of those situations where it's Bremen's going to Spurs or Skriniar's going to Spurs. Whichever one you don't get, Conte's going to grab. Although, as much as this is messed up, I love Conte in this situation. He's just basically saying, whoever your top target is, if you don't give me the player I want from your team, I'm just going to buy them instead. I got more pull than you right now. I'm in the Champions League. I'm Antonio Conte. You know, exactly. I think it's so funny. I heard that report. If we don't get Bastoni, we're going to take Brennan. If you don't give us Skriniar, we're going to take – you're not Brett. So it's not like – the thing is, with Inter, I don't think there's a situation where it's Bremen and Skriniar. It's one or the other. Whichever one you – it's either you keep Skriniar and then Bremen goes to Spurs or vice versa. I don't believe there's a situation where both of those players will be on Inter next season. It's one or the other. And obviously – anyway, the Bastoni thing, this is something I think we need to just kind of accept. These conversations of him going to the Premier League aren't going to go away. In January, they'll be here again. In the summer, they'll be here again. Next summer, they'll be there again. It's just there's just a constant about the Bastoni is highly rated, and he's going to continue to be in these conversations. It's not like he's an Inter fan growing up and kind of a different situation, like maybe some. So these things will just completely continue to go. So it does look like he wants to stay. But I would say this is my vibe. I think he wants to stay for now. because I don't think he's going to be closed off to the possibilities of moving at some point. But for the moment, he wants to continue to build. One thing I want to go over just real quick. You were really upset at Bastoni's agent, and I still don't understand what your deal was, because I couldn't figure it out. What issue did you have with the statement? Because I read it like 100 times, and I still couldn't find anything wrong with it. In that moment, what was your feeling? Why were you upset at it? His agent.
Okay, I'm just gonna say it now. Disregard that I said anything. I did not. A lot of us Inter fans were just like pissed off with the whole losing Bastoni thing, that we were blaming like a bunch of different people, and that was pretty much the scope of what was going on at the time. So
okay, I was curious because I was just wondering because Bastoni's agent just said he loves Inter, yada yada, but I want him to be able to adapt to the market. All that is saying is I want him to keep all his options open, even if he still wants to stay. Basically said that the line about his jerseys tattooed to his skin and all that stuff. But I think based on what the comment I read was, he was just saying, you know, be aware of what the market is, know your worth. And if not saying, oh, he should leave, it's just more or less, just be aware of what's around you, basically. And that's, again, I was confused because it's like, that's literally his job as an agent, to let him know what's going on and things like that. And if a deal comes to play, he needs to tell Bastoni what's going on. And he's just letting him know, stay at Inter, but you know, keep your options open. You never know what's going to happen. If next year they win the league, maybe his desire to leave goes up. I don't think Bastoni's there for 10 years. Personally, I think eventually he's going to leave, and I think we all understand that. It will be costly for whoever comes in and gets him at some point. And I think he could stay for the next couple of years, but these deals are going to continue to be brought to his attention. The Premier League's injury is going to continue to heat up, and eventually he's going to move, and that's just the reality of football. That's why I love Tammy Abraham. I don't think he's going to be here for 10 years. I understand where we are with it. So, anyway. All right, real quick. Christian Ansaldi, it seems like a deal is almost done for them to come in for Inter. What are your thoughts on the deal, and what do you think he will bring to the team next season?
Remind me the position and the team he comes from again.
Empoli midfielder.
Okay, Empoli. Aslani is definitely is definitely going to be a key piece to our midfield, whether has a starter or has a substitution. He has shown that he's one of the best midfielders, despite not coming from a top six club. He, with what he's done with Empoli, is huge, especially keeping them in the league this season. I mean, he's a really good, strong assister. He knows like where to be to facilitate those chances, which is great since we also since we needed some of that extra depth as well in that area, even though I guess we have a ton of midfielders, I would say. But in general, with the pieces that we're losing, it's great to have midfielders that also could all provide a defensive aspect, which Aslani is known for a little bit. So I mean, overall, will be a great addition, whether we utilize him as a substitute or a starter. However we utilize him, he's just going to bring that little something extra whenever we need to have him on the pitch.
Yeah, and you've been complaining for years about, we don't have any young players in this team. We're old as shit, you know. In 2 years, we're not gonna be able to compete. Guy was born in 2002. He's 20 years old. Same thing with
he's
Nunes.
He's a whippersnapper. He's a whippersnapper.
Yeah, 20 years old. One great season with Empoli, but he's young enough to kind of veer into Inter in this coming season, and so on and so forth. All right, so there's some Roman stuff going on here. there's a lot of stuff happening. And I thought there was a possibility that there would be a deal done before we were done recording. It's still possible, but I think it's unlikely. I think it'll be done tomorrow. But so a few things I want to talk about here. Obviously, Minyan Matic, I'm coming from Manchester United on a free. Experienced, he will be 34 years old at the start of next season. A one-year deal. He's played under Mourinho plenty. You want to hear a crazy stat?
Let me ask my magic eight ball. Do I want to hear a crazy stat today? It says yes.
Okay. Of all the players that Jose Mourinho has coached, he has spent Minyan Matic has played the second most games of anybody. This is their third time together. The only player that has played more appearances under Mourinho is Frank Lampard. I believe the number is 180 games under Mourinho. He played with him at Man United. He was there with him at Chelsea, and now he's here at Roma. Again, 34 years old. It's not young, but I think he brings experience. He's won some things, not a ton, but he's won. I think he'll be very influential to his squad that's very young, and so on and so forth. You look at some of the other things that are going on here. I think he'll be a good piece. Again, never as a starter, always off the bench unless it's in the Europa League. Occasional starter if you're playing a defensive midfield with Cristante and him, just because I think that'll be a decent pair for them to go at it and all that stuff. So good deal. All right, so a few other things. Selick from Lille. I think by tomorrow morning the deal will be done. They've reached an agreement, I think, $6.5 million. Cheap deal, but he's in the last year of his contract. They wanted $9 million, but it does seem we struck a deal at about around $7 million. This gives Roma some coverage on with Rick Karsdorp, who I believe, if I'm not mistaken, played more minutes. He had the most minutes of any player other than a goalkeeper last season. He never came off the bench. He never got rest. He basically played 100 million minutes last season. We need a little bit more coverage there. On the other side, we obviously have Spinazzola and Zalowski. On this side, we'll have Karsdorp and Zelek. And he's won the league with Lille. He's done a really good job there. I think this gives him a lot of depth there, which is something obviously that's a need. This deal, the one I'm going to talk about now, is it's a few weeks away because they want to keep him for the Champions League qualifiers. But it does seem we've captured a Norwegian hobbit. Volkan, I think is his name. Striker, but
sounds like a hobbit name.
Also can play on the outside, play well against the games against Roma, is having a good season because their season just started a month ago or something. They have a totally different season than everybody else. I think he's scored a few times this season already. That's close. He's on the last year of his contract. We'll sign him for free. We could, but we're going to give him a small fee and hopefully he'll get it done. But they do want to keep him until the qualifiers are over. Once the qualifiers are over, we'll grab him. Okay, so good deals all around. I like what we're doing. But this is the new mentality of a Roma business here. So you look at everything that's been done. They're doing a good job. They're building a squad. There's still much to do, obviously. But this is what I like about this Roma team, and this is basically my question, is your opinion on this type of business. So Roma have covered their bases of getting what they need, but they've also been aggressive. Roma have bid for Hussein Awar from Lyon. They've bid for Gondelas from Valencia. They've bid for Rodrigo de Paul from Atletico. And they bid for they haven't bid yet, but they're going to bid for Okoke, who did not have a great year at Chelsea, but Atletico Madrid, and is not in Atletico Madrid's plans. So they've spent, and all of these bids are pretty handsome. And then obviously Ferrazzi, who's a former Roma academy graduate, who's at Sassuolo, one of their best midfielders this season. That deal could be done very cheap because Roma holds a 30% percentage of a future sale, meaning if they sell him for X amount of money, we can get the deal cheaper because we have a percentage of the sale. Anyway, what are your thoughts on the overall window so far for Roma? And I just want to get your thoughts on the aggressiveness that they're showing here in the early parts of the window.
Well, in regards to how you guys conduct business with more of the like aggressive approach where you're trying, like if one bid doesn't work, you're right there again doing a counteroffer. Obviously, there are times where you won't win everything, but I mean, the way you just approach everything where you're being a little bit more aggressive than some of the other teams out there is absolutely amazing because that's how transfer window business should be done. Obviously, there will come a time where you can't meet a player's like price tag. That's absolutely okay.
Right, all I was gonna say is they're still going out and bidding. They're still putting things on. They're putting money on the table for players like these who will not be cheap things, obviously.
Yeah, I was actually gonna say that. Like, you're still trying to approach that aspect. Obviously, there might be a time where you can't afford the like counter offer, and if they go to another team, but at least you're trying your best to get that player. So the way you guys conduct business from a neutral standpoint is how business should be conducted for any club that is going after any player. At least continue to put an effort until you know that, okay, as they say, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. Basically, the Kenny Rogers, the Gambler song, because if everything gets to a point where you can't afford to pay it, but at least you made that effort.
Just real quick, any thoughts on the Matthews deal? What's your take?
I really have nothing to add, but I will agree that the experience that he will bring to the table will definitely help going forward.
All right, fair enough. As we know, it's been confirmed for a long time, but the Norwegian freight train came to City. They paid his release clause a month ago. For the first time, was announced. The kid's special. We know this. What are your thoughts on the levels he will add to this Manchester City squad that already is fucking loaded?
I mean, this team, like you just said, they're loaded. And he's just going to add to that fortress that they have over at City. He's going to provide, be a huge key depth piece, whether they utilize him as a striker, because obviously a player of his caliber is going to need to be rested every once in a while. But whether he's starting or subbing, we know how special he is. We've seen the amount of goals he can score. And we know that even if he isn't scoring goals, he helps facilitate chances. And this is far-fetched, but I think he's like the equivalent of Lautaro Martinez, but going to England. He is one of those players that provides a lot more than just scoring goals. He's an assister. If he has to defend a little bit, he will do that. So for me, he's just a well-rounded striker who knows how to play a variety of different roles, like Martinez does.
Big stretch. I mean, I get what you're saying, but they're totally different types of players in terms of what they bring. They're similar in the sense of they're more than just a goal scorer. But I mean, Haaland is 6'4", like, and runs like he did knock people over. You know, he does. Lautaro doesn't have the physicality of Haaland, but I do get what you're kind of saying, where he's more than just a goal scorer. There's been some people in England that have said some pretty ridiculous things about this. I'm going to give your take and then I'll give mine. What do you say to the people? I mean, not personally, but what would your responsibility to the people that's saying that he won't work because of the style of play of City have, because they haven't really played with a striker, and that he doesn't have adequate link-up play to basically to keep things in line with the other players around him. I mean, obviously that's nonsense, but what would you say to that?
Whatever strains of weed you're smoking, I don't want any.
Sorry, I mean, why are they wrong? I mean, sorry, I didn't phrase that well.
Okay, but I mean, that is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. I mean, this Erling Haaland, yes, you could say those things, but the thing is, just like Pep Guardiola, he's like a chameleon. He can adapt to different situations. Obviously, it'll take him a while to get used to that system, but he will eventually become one of the key pieces that takes this team to the next level. And it's, even though they're already on a whole other level as everybody else anyways, but he's just adding that to that fire that they already have over at City. So, yeah. I mean, just hearing that, those remarks is absolutely, I'm going to coin a Ryan here, absolutely egregious, because we all know he adapts to certain situations. I mean, look at what he's done in Bundesliga. There were times where certain like scenarios weren't working, but then he was able to switch to whatever the coach, or if he saw something that would have been a better approach that the coach wasn't seeing, he would say, okay, let me try this, and certain things just click. And so just hearing those remarks, it's just absolutely absurd.
Yeah, I get the link of play thing, because we can sit up here and talk about how great Haaland is, but it's not anymore. The last month and a half, I think he's improved massively in link of play and together. Man City play a very specific style. I think he'll find a way to fit into that style. I understand why people would think that he might not start out with the gates running, just because of the style that Pep Guardiola plays, but they'll find a way to fit him in. And the link of play thing is nonsense. Just watched him the last, 18 months that he's played, and he's improved in that area massively. I wouldn't say it's his greatest strength. It's still something he needs to work on. But I mean, I think it's something he's been improving on, pretty regularly over this last year. So I'm not concerned. I think the biggest impact Erling Haaland will have in this team is the Champions League. The collapse against Real Madrid, stuff like that. That's where he'll make the big difference and get them over the line in Europe. In the Premier League, I don't think he's going to take Man City to another level. I just think they're going to be still insane. I think they'll still be dominant. I don't think it will be – it's not like City will be even more dominant. I just think they're going to be insane, and they'll change a little bit of their system to help him, and they'll be amazing. But I think where he makes the most impact and getting in that Real Madrid game, getting over the line with their chances, and they're getting more players as well. And I think players that didn't play well this season, like Jack Grealish, I think he'll improve and be much better next season, and so on and so on and all that stuff. And for the first time ever, when someone says, I grew up a City fan, they're actually telling the truth. because his dad played for Man City. Because every time City signs someone, they say, "Oh, I always dreamed of playing for City." But so for the first time, all right. Just a few more things, and we'll get out of here. The big one that we've expected for weeks, Sané to Mané, is going to be a reality. They struck a deal today. 40 million plus add-ons for Sadio Mané. He's coming to the Bundesliga. I'm so excited. What are your thoughts on Sadio Mane making the move to Bavaria land?
I mean, great for him. I mean, I'm excited to see what he can do with Bayern, especially with the SM connection, Mane and Sané. Holy crap, that's going to be fun to say. But yeah, this is definitely a good move for Bayern. Obviously, you are losing Robert Lewandowski. I think they are losing maybe, I think, one other player.
I think Gnabry turned down a contract that I would eat my shoes for. So I think he's probably on the way out too. He turned down like $15 million a year or something like that. But you still have, obviously, you have to, Sané, Mane on each side, and you can, Müller is going to be a false nine. And I think they're going to bring in another striker.
Yeah, but this was definitely a needed move for them, especially since losing a couple key pieces. But, I mean, just overall, this is a very exciting one to watch.
Yeah. Do you think that – I mean, this is kind of a dumb question, actually, but do you think Mane can make up for the amount of goals that's being lost with the departure of Lewandowski?
I mean, it will be a stretch, but it could be in the realm of possibilities. But obviously, in regards to just Bayern as a whole, they'll still make up the amount of goals. The goals will come from somewhere, whether it's Müller, Sané, or even just some defenders who get a lucky goal every once in a while, even though their main job is defending. So, I mean, the goals are going to come. It, obviously, will they? He scored the same amount of goals as Lewandowski? Obviously not, because Lewandowski was an animal.
Do you think he get 20?
I mean, 20 is very realistic. I mean, so in general, the goals will come, but I don't think he'll hit Lewandowski numbers.
No.
But he will still hit a good amount of goals regardless.
Yeah, I don't think he's bagging. I don't know what he got, 35 last year. In the Bundesliga, I think. I could be wrong. The year before he went for 41, I don't think he'd go in that. But if he gets from 18 to 23 goals in the Bundesliga, I am so fucking excited to see this dude in the Bundesliga. I'm like over the moon. Because obviously I watch the Premier League, but I don't necessarily watch it every week. Bundesliga I watch every Saturday. So I am so fucking excited. I feel bad for being so happy when all my Liverpool friends are sad that he's leaving, but I am over the fucking moon for this guy to come into Bundesliga, because he's been one of my favorite players in the Premier League for a long time, and now get to see him up close. And 3-year deal, he's 30, but I think he's got at least I still think without Lewandowski, Bayern Munich still are the ones to answer. I know Leipzig just got Xavier Schlager from Wolfsburg, but I think they need to keep their team together. If they get another piece, I think they can push Bayern, but with Sané there. Is amazing. In addition to that, one of the best players at Ajax, Ryan Gravenberch, whatever, is coming as well. What do you think the addition to that to their midfield does to the overall team? With on top of the addition of I almost did it, Sadio Mane. I see what you mean. I almost said Sané's name there.
I know, right? It's going to be wild with that.
It's going to be confusing.
Okay, Sané is Sané, Mane is Mane, and one just sounds like money, the other one sounds like Sonny. Okay, just
they're
remember
gonna
that.
All to each other. It doesn't matter if we can tell the difference. It's going to be hard to separate. I bet you anything there's going to be some announcers that fuck it up. I bet you. Anyway, what are your thoughts on the young Ajax midfielder coming to the Bavarian city?
I'm going to be realistic. I have nothing to add, as I never heard of this player in my life, so I really don't want to be saying something I know nothing about, just to be fair.
All right. In the future, just when I send you the stuff, just make sure to get a little bit of taste. Just watch a few clips or whatever. That's fine, though. I think it's insane. I think with the midfield that they have already, you're looking at a player that's been Ajax, one of the more consistent players for a long period of time. And now you're coming into a team that's loaded, playing for my favorite coach. Sané is there. Mane is there. You still got Kingsley Coman. Doesn't look like he's going to be leaving. Thomas Müller's still there. You got a midfield with, obviously, he's going to be joining there. But they also have Joshua Kimmich and Leon Goretzka. I mean, it's just a disgusting team. And Man City's loaded. I still think if they give themselves a striker to replace Lewandowski, I think starting 11, I still take Bayern over everybody as far as that. And, you know, they got depth. They got quality. They got young players that are coming in. They, Jamal Musiala and so on. And yeah, it's going to be a cool team, a good team next season. And I think they're going to be the favorites again, but I think it could be a little closer if Leipzig continue to do good business. All right. Tuukka Meechi is a midfielder from Monaco. Been very consistent. Real Madrid just dropped 100 million on the kid. I think he's in his early 20s, if even that. I think it's a huge coup for Real Madrid, and I think, I mean, it's just annoying how good they're gonna continue to be with the young players and the experience. I think Real Madrid are just a monster. What are your thoughts on Madrid continue to build miracles?
Obviously, I don't know this player because
I didn't ask that question.
Because I know there are, you did say when you sent the script that there were a couple things that you forgot. So,
yeah, that was one of them.
So, and that in the Ajax player, I didn't know you were going to add his name to the fray too. So, obviously, when you do mention certain things like
that, yeah, I know.
I will definitely take a mental note. And it's all good. I can't remember. So, right. I will look them up.
But, in a general sense, I mean, it's a player that's very, very young, very good, going to a Real Madrid team that has experience and youth already in there with Vinicius and Rodrigo, with the experience of Cruz, Modric, and Benzema.
But, I mean, just Real Madrid continuing to build on what they already have. Obviously, they are an aging squad in certain areas, so bringing the younger talent is definitely going to help them continue to their success going forward. But I mean, Real Madrid is going to continue to be one of the forces in football for many, many years, just like they have in the past.
100%. I'll call this a rant. I'm just going to talk normally, but angrily. The Golden Boy Award has been not given out, but the nominees have been released. I think there's like 100. You know, all the names that we know, the young guns, Jamal Musiala, Jude Bellingham. I don't know I assume Phil Foden's in there as well. Roma's boy, Nikola Zalewski. So many young players throughout Europe. They're all in this little this list. I assume it will get shorter in the next couple months before when they come out with the award. Gabby, Pedri, Ansu Fati, all the Barcelona boys, all the Camavinga, the Real Madrid boys. I believe there's some AC Milan lads in there. However, I did notice there's a name that's not on the list. It's the best one of all of them. It's weird how there's 100 fucking nominees and the player that's better than the entire fucking list is, sorry, I didn't even know I was gonna act this way. It's not even there. How is Florian Wirtz not in this list when the only player on the entire list that can be in his conversation is probably Pedri or Camavinga? Outside of those two, no one even comes close. If you take this age group, he is miles off the majority of them. If you went up to a different age group, if you went from, I don't know, 17 to 24, he's still probably better than all of the players of that age group. So I just think this is absurd. I read an article that said maybe there'll be names added later when the list gets shorter. But if this guy's name is not on this list, it is the most absurd thing I've ever seen. Last season, he had, he tore his ACL before the second leg against the Atlanta game in the Europa League. I believe he had at that point 10 goals and 14 assists. He's got every single record for a young player in the Bundesliga of his age group. He's the first player that's 17 years, 13 days old to do this. He's the first player at 18 year olds, 19 days to do this. The guy's only 19 years old. He's on Bayer Leverkusen. Is incredible. His overall vibe and the way he's dominated games is incredible. He is the best young player in the world, not counting Mbappe and Haaland. and he's not on the list. I just don't understand what's going on here. How can fucking John Scaly from Gladbach, who had scored one goal and was barely a starter, be nominated for this list, but not the guy who's better than the whole fucking list? I'm genuinely confused how this is even possible. It's madness. If he was there, he's the obvious winner. But I just don't know. This is ridiculous. Anyway, ran over. Just real quick, PSG launched bid for Scamacca, 35 million plus add-ons. Do you see this happening, and do you think it'd be a good deal for the choke artists of Europe?
Hang on, I need to get hey, PSG needs some aloe vera for that burn.
I mean, I'm all speaking facts here.
I mean, you're already speaking facts, but damn, that was some fire right on there.
How do you see two goals in 1 minute? Just go back to the Real Madrid game. You'll know what I mean.
Exactly. But, I mean, do I think this happens? I think there's a chance that it could. But if they do land this deal, it would definitely help them, at least depth-wise, but I do not know how they would utilize him to his full potential that he has been with Sassuolo. So, I mean, we'll just see what happens with this one, but if it does happen, I just don't know if he'll be the same player because of the depth that this team already does have that is performing at a high-quality level within the league but just knows how to bottle it during Champions League, but I just don't know what they would do with him, to be honest.
Don't you think being around better players would make him much have a better season?
It is a possibility, but it could go either way on that front because
I get it, but Moise Keane went from 16 goals to 4. He went from PSG to Juve and scored 4 goals for Juve or something like that and scored 6. I think, you know, you got Messi there. You can play him wide. Mbappe, Neymar, and I think you could – they'll play an attacking formation. So I do think that he'll get opportunities, and I think he could score 17 for them next year. Yes. I don't think it will happen, but, you know, they seem to be interested. All right, and the last thing we need to do is Wales beat the Ukraine. Unfortunately, Ukraine will not be spending their summer or their November with us as they were eliminated from the World Cup. As Gareth Bale decided to be a footballer every time he puts on the Wales shirt and then pretends that he doesn't play football and he doesn't play the Wales shirt. But balls out, they'll be joining the group of the USA. And so they go through advance. They're in the World Cup now, and Australia beat Peru on penalties with the goalkeeper acting like a total lunatic during the shootout. Pretty funny, actually. So Wales are in, Australia is in, the data set, and just congratulations, and we'll see you next week.